Blog Talk Radio. With Dr. Reggie Johnson this morning. Oh my goodness. And we are winding down our book study of Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay by Jim Rose Murgi. Today we're going to be talking about poverty and just getting rid of the poverty consciousness around the world. It's going to be a very interesting topic. I'm going to open up the lines early today so that we can all talk about this, moving into the consciousness of oneness. Good morning, Dr. Reggie. How are you?
Good morning, Cynthia. Thanks for asking. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm sleepy still.
Oh, you broke your rest.
I did. I did. But I thank you so much for my cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wow. I hope everybody had a good weekend. Did you enjoy your weekend? It was a lazy weekend, huh?
It was
one of those times when you just want to, we just vegged out, stayed in the house most of the weekend. So I love that, to have the opportunity to relax.
Yeah, busy week, so it was worth it.
It really was. So, you know, a couple of things I want to share with our audience this morning. One is that you are going to be doing a psychic development class at the Open Mind Center in Roswell. So if you're interested in attending this class, please give me a call at 800-401-8129, and of course I will give you some more information. But it's a 6-week course. This is part one, and Dr. Reggie is going to be teaching making you aware of the gifts that you have, such as clairaudience and clairvoyance, and then helping you to discover your unique gifts. And so it's a fun class. There's a lot of meditation, but he will help you interpret your feelings that you experience during the meditation and when you're in touch with your higher self, because you get feelings in your body, in your emotions, and he guides you through how to interpret those feelings, because that is how our higher self communicates with us. Isn't that right, Dr. Reggie?
Yes, it is. And what's even more important, based on what they're feeling, there's always a revelation that's available to them to understand. If something happened with the shoulder, it means they don't want to bear responsibility for something. Something comes to the crown chakra. Somebody's trying to do a mental or a psychic attack. There's always a reason for everything that happens in the body based on what the mind is experiencing in meditation and psychic development. It's very important, too, because this is a part of what you have. But when someone is able to guide you to bring it out, that's even more important. Things like psychometry, the science of touch, what you touch and feel, all these things are very important to you to navigate through life. So I thank you so much for that announcement.
Yeah. It will blow you away. And the number one thing that he teaches, and it's a very subtle way that he teaches it, is to trust. You know, one of the things that we say here on Circles of Prosperity is trust in trust and have faith in faith. And when you are discovering your psychic ability, becoming aware of your psychic ability, it requires that you trust. And what I find the advantage of taking a class like this is that I have learned to trust my higher self which is really that part of me that is connected to that divine energy. And it is just amazing when you get the hunches to follow it. We always say the universe is always supporting you, which equals means God is supporting you, if you want to use the term God, or source is supporting you, or your angels are supporting you. You may quantify it or qualify, you know, give it any name, but it's still the same. But if you have no trust, then you will just dismiss these hunches or these feelings. You just dismiss it. But you need to learn to trust it. And, you know, there's an adage that says, let go and let God. We say that here, to release, let go. But then that requires trust. So, I love Dr. Reggie's psychic development class. Part two of the class, which is another six-week course, gets into astral traveling and channeling. So, like I said, if you're interested, please give us a call at 800-401-8129. I don't know where my head is. I'm not awake. I guess that's what's going on. I'm not awake.
Okay.
Anyway. You want to take us into our morning prayer?
Mm-hmm. As we breathe in and relax, we feel the surge of air and the surge of life that goes into this body that is born on this planet. We need this air to live, to even have an identity and an existence. We thank you, Father, for this power. And we thank you for the energy of being able to give, not just give of money where we get spiritual nourishment, but to give of ourselves and our talents and our time. When we do so, tremendous influx of blessings come in for us, a tidal wave that we were not expecting. Let us learn to use that principle because it works. If we don't give, we find that things are disappearing out of our life. Our cash, everything is disappearing. Like, what's happening to me? Let us be reminded, giving is a powerful energy. When we release the energy of giving, a powerful force takes place. And all the lords of karma that are in creation return that favor to us with many gifts that are unexpected. We thank you for the power this morning and the lesson to be learned. We believe this is so, and so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Well, we're in chapter 10. I'm reading from chapter 10, which is on page 121 of the book, Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay. I don't know if many of you bought this book. I hope you do, because it's really great. And the last portion of the book is a 40-day guide to prosperous living. And it's just, I love it. It's reminders of the lessons that we've gone through these past few weeks. And it's something you can repeat over and over, such as a consciousness of God is available to everyone. My supply is unaffected by earthly conditions. A consciousness of God cannot be limited. A consciousness of God is my daily bread. There is no need to hoard. There's no need to hoard. Wonderful things to, you know, just read through and be in remembrance of these truth principles. But today we're going to talk about poverty, plenty, and paradise. You know, I am a strong believer that we are in a time that we can bring heaven on earth. And there are a number of reasons why I believe this. But let's get into this chapter, and then maybe you will begin to see it as well. He subtitles this chapter, The I, with a capital I, The I Has Seen the We. Now, the world has many needs, but its greatest need is to discover and to consciously put into practice the prosperity principles that we have fed, clothed, and brought security and inner peace to the human family during this its ascending spiral of evolution and progress. Not only will these laws of life put bread on the table of every human being, they will also provide the security and the well-being that transcend what we possess. And out of the God-inspired security will come creativity and the expression of our divine potential that blesses the earth. When you move into the consciousness of abundance, when you move into the consciousness of God as source, of God as supply, and you begin to make choices and decisions based on that truth principle, there's a whole shift. There's a ripple effect that goes throughout this planet. And other people that come in contact with you are going to be transformed because of the way you are. So this is what he's saying. There is a great wealth in the world. There are immensely wealthy nations and rich individuals whose net worth far exceeds that of countries. But there is also inexcusable poverty. The Human Development Report in 1998 reveals that 4.4 billion people in developing countries, nearly three-fifths, lack access to sanitation. A third have no access to clean water. A quarter do not have adequate housing. And a fifth have no access to modern health services of any kind. There's 3.6 billion suffering from iron deficiency, 2 billion of whom are anemic. About 17 million people in developing countries die each year from such curable infectious and parasitic diseases as diarrhea and measles, malaria, tuberculosis. And even here in the United States, with the highest average income, it has the highest population share experiencing human poverty in the industrialized world. Poverty is the problem of those in need, but it is also the problem of those who have so much. We are in this together. And although another economy or another country may not be our nation's primary trading partner or produce goods that we feel that we need, their need is still the problem of any nation of caring people. A global economy is emerging. No great wall can isolate one culture from another. No nation can be an island unto itself and produce a false economy that prospers its people. Even the economies of the world are beginning to reflect the spiritual truth that we are one. You know, the one thing about this that was unique about the economic downturn of 2008-2009, it woke us up, did it not? It woke us up to, number one, how our economies are so connected. I don't think we ever clearly saw that before, but we see it now. What happens in London, Australia? Do you know the economic downturn started in Iceland? The banks are connected. And this is what he's saying, that our economies are a reflection of oneness. We are resistant to the idea that there's a global economy. I work with wonderful graphic artists and web designers from all over the world. In particular, I'm working with people from India and the Philippines and Egypt, providing me with wonderful work, wonderful service. We are not limited by the distance anymore. The internet has broken us free. We're no longer that. What did we call it last week? We're that imprisoned splendor. We get to release the creativity of people from all over the world. We are, I won't say that we're competing for jobs with other countries. I know that that's the old language. The new language is that we are able to service people all over the world, is it not? We're about service. So I believe that we are in a period where we are bringing right now heaven to earth. We're breaking down the walls where diversity separates us. Rather now, we embrace diversity. Diversity empowers us, does it not? The internet has been probably the main reason that has allowed us to become a global force, a global workforce. It's changing everything. Look at the news. When the Arab Spring broke out, they were on Twitter showing us pictures, telling us what's going on. Our brothers and sisters were fighting for their freedom, and they were sharing their struggle with us through the internet. It was as if we were there. It was live. There was no news organization that was getting this information, giving their interpretation of it, and what was being censored or not. This was coming from the people that were in the street. The way we do business now, and I've been spending a lot of time studying social media and the impact of social media on business and marketing. And there's this shift now where companies that are successful are companies that are finding their tribe, their community, and listening to what they are saying and then providing the service that they want. The walls have come down. There's not Madison Avenue, even though Madison Avenue is still there, trying to predict what it is that you want or to create the desire of what it is, your desire for what you want. But they're also listening. They're listening. And all of that is where you as an individual have a huge impact, and that's why it's so important that you as an individual are living the spiritual principles, because you have a huge impact on your brothers and your sisters around the world. He says, many of us have seen pictures of the Earth as the astronauts have seen it. There's a luminous blue and white pearl hanging in the heavens, without borders and without division. So the I has seen the we, and consequently, we can never be the same. The global economy is also forcing us to see ourselves as one. Even our desires are helping to weave us together. It was this way in the time before history, when tribes traded goods with one another. And now the tribes are nations. And eventually the nations will become one world. For we really and truly are one people with one creator. So we need not only the goods that others create. We need one another. We may want a particular product, but there is nothing to buy unless a skilled person or persons create it. In other words, all of the things that we may need, remember, God needs someone to work through, to have to deliver the idea and the concept and the creativity to produce whatever it is that you think that you may need. So we must look at one another as more than the producer or the consumer of goods. How do you think we should be looking at each other? As an expression of God, as a divine expression of God, and so that requires what? No judgments, does it not? No right, no wrong. In the future, the experience of oneness will be a central breakthrough enabling us to truly prosper and to find security. A world economy and common needs help to bring us together, but the power of oneness is brought to bear when we honor and celebrate our diversity. Because as long as we persist in declaring our culture, our religion, or our way of doing things right, and the culture and religion or the approach of life of another person as wrong, we will not prosper or even find security. One need to be right and to make another wrong, that is the seed of war. A world that fails to celebrate the differences in its inhabitants is a world in conflict, and conflict makes security and prosperity impossible. So, conflict destroys the infrastructure of a country and its human resources. Look at Syria. All the people dying, the conflict that's there. Look at Israel and the battle between the Israelites and the Palestinians, conflict. Look at the destruction that goes on, how the people are suffering. Declaring one is right and one is wrong, rather than recognizing, oh my goodness, you both are such strong believers. Your faith is number one in your life. Your religion is number one in your life. You believe in a higher God, Allah on one hand, God on the other, but it's all the same. And you struggle over land that doesn't even belong to you anyway. So what's the argument? Live together in peace and harmony and share that which your creator has provided for you. Conflict destroys the infrastructure of a country and its human resources. And listen to this. Over the past decade, armed conflict has killed 2 million children, is disabled 4 to 5 million, and left 12 million homeless, more than 1 million orphaned or separated from their parents, and 10 million psychologically traumatized. All over arguing, I'm right and you're wrong. And now that puts it in perspective why it's not worth arguing over who's right and wrong when it comes to your brother. The Bible says, why are you worried about the speck in your brother's eye when you have a huge log sitting in yours? In other words, you need to move into your enlightened consciousness, into your Christ consciousness. Be concerned about being on that path and release what's going on with your brother. Just love your brother. We are all richer when we are willing to discover why a culture has developed the way it has developed. Because when we know why people value certain things, we are richer for it. In fact, our values may shift, and we may find a better way of doing things. And of course, we may learn ways that would not work for us. So there is no awareness of oneness without the celebration of diversity. So in our country right now, we have two parties in our political arena. And, you know, politics plays a part in, it impacts our life. Although when we are in alignment with our divine energy, it really doesn't matter what goes on. As long as we're in alignment with our spiritual principles, we know that we can navigate through all of these changes. But we have two parties here, and one is struggling so hard to hold on to the past, and one is struggling so hard to take us into the future. And the struggle is so strong between the two. Their points of view are so strong, and they're holding on so hard that they can't get anything done. It's just resistance, resistance, resistance. And they are so committed to their resistance that they even hate the word. The Republicans say, oh, compromise. That is not in our vocabulary, the word compromise. They cannot celebrate the diversity. They're not celebrating. And there has been this call to awaken. Listen, our gay brothers and sisters, our lesbian brothers and sisters, you know, this is a diversity. They are diverse. Their families are different, but they are still families. And we need to embrace them. They deserve their equal rights. And that's just one of the issues on the table. Now we have immigrants that have come, and they are not legal immigrants to the United States, and they're struggling over that. They don't deserve to be here. We need to kick them out. How are we going to kick out 11 million people who are contributing, by the way, to our economy and to our way of life? We need to embrace diversity, do we not? There is no awareness of oneness without the celebration of diversity. Part of our problem is that we tend to stereotype other countries and cultures. Americans often think of Muslims as religious fanatics and Iraqis as fools for following Saddam Hussein. But when we get to know individuals from other lands, we begin to see a greater depth than what the news media portrays. We begin to understand why people act and react the way they do. That opens us up to love them, to embrace them. So we are fortunate in the United States because we have so many cultures and viewpoints represented throughout the American landscape. It is part of what makes the nation so great. And by taking the time to study and become aware of people of different ethnic and national origins, we explore diversity and we take one more step toward an experience of oneness. The American paradigm of a nation is the epitome of understanding oneness, the expression of oneness. We are not a nation with the same religious belief. We are not a nation with the same color skin, the same physical characteristics. We are not a nation. I mean, we are a diverse nation, and oh my goodness, thank God for the diversity. The only thing that we stand for that unites us is our belief in our freedom. Our belief that the energy, that divine energy can flow through us, our inalienable right to pursue liberty. And happiness. So we are very blessed to be here, and this is why so many people want to come here, so that they can live the full potential of that which God wants to express through them. So the next time that you want to talk about America and think that it's a horrible place and that our government is lousy and you just want to say a bunch of negative things, stop. So listen, if you have a comment or question this morning, please call 914-338-0590. We're talking about creating heaven here on earth by moving into a consciousness of abundance, no releasing judgments, releasing our fear of lack. Dr. Reggie.
Yes?
I'm here. I know you are, sweetheart.
I'm listening very intently, too, because it's very powerful information, you know, and it's something that we should all be aware of. It's very critical information that we need to have for our spiritual growth. It really is. And releasing these fear of poverty. I like the statement from the affirmation that you said about, in spite of what's going on in the world, that we have a more powerful, higher consciousness of abundance in God.
Yes, yes. A lot of our conflict, like I said, it stems from being right or wrong. And the other thing it stems from is this belief that someone can take something from us.
Mm-hmm. That's because people are not about service, and that's what we need to be about, and to help other people who are less fortunate. And if we open our hearts, our minds, and our gifts to humanity,
mm-hmm.
So then it changes the perspective about everything.
Yeah. I wanted to share this story. Have you guys seen the big, huge statue of Jesus that stands up on this peak in Brazil? You've seen
Easter Island. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, in 1899, Argentina and Chile were almost going to war. And during Easter of the next year, most of the Chileans and the Argentinians thought that war was a certainty. But on Easter Day, Monsignor Benaventi preached a sermon in Buenos Aires, and he cried out for peace. And so there was a bishop in Chile that heard of this sermon, and he opened the heart of his people with a similar appeal for harmony. And slowly there was this momentum that built up, and the consciousness of the people, the consciousness of, listen to the key word here, of the people of these two countries that had always lived in peace, they forced their two governments to submit their border dispute to King Edward VII of Great Britain for arbitration. And the dispute was resolved. And another step was taken that was made an example to the world. The weapons that were on the border were melted down and cast into a large bronze statue of Jesus. and the image was carried on gun carriages to the 13,000 foot level of the mountain border between the two countries. And the soldiers and sailors took the statue the final distance and erected it on March the 13th, 1904. And these words were inscribed as an example of the work that oneness can do. These mountains themselves shall fall and crumble to dust before the people of Chile and the Argentine Republic forget their solemn covenant sworn at the feet of Christ. And then they had this scripture that said, He is our peace who hath made both one. I never knew how that, I always wondered, how did they get that statue there? Because it's on a peak that is just, you know, so high up. And it's such a beautiful aerial photograph of the arms of Jesus outstretched. And here to realize that they're saying, He is our peace who have made both one. And that's from Ephesians chapter 2, 14. It was done. It solved a conflict. Recognizing their oneness solved their conflict. We are one in spirit, and the forces of the universe are greatly compelling us to know and to experience our oneness. Our existence ultimately will be determined because of our willingness to find the beauty in our seeming differences and our oneness in our varied cultures and religions. And this discovery will prosper the world and all its people. Yep, we are one in body. We are one in soul. We are one. How many of you are awakening to that truth? It's kind of hard because when we're focusing on our body, we think of each other as individuals. But we are truly one. Well, Dr. Reggie?
Yes, ma'am.
I think this is a good time for us to go ahead and close out today's lesson this morning.
This is a beautiful lesson. I really appreciate it so much. I really do. It gives me a lot to think about. I hope it gives everybody else a lot to think about, because you know what? There is no fear when you have faith in the power of abundance and providence in God. There's nothing to fear. You just keep marching right through it, because if you think about the fear, you're going to attract what you don't want. So I thank you, God, for everything. So I will do the closing prayer.
Okay.
I thank you, Father, as electricity needs a conduit.
Mm-hmm.
We are the conduits of your power.
Yes.
And to maintain the light of the soul in a darkened world, let us be open without lack, knowing that lack is not of your kingdom. The kingdom wants us to be prosperous, everybody. Before we return to who you are in spirit, we can experience heaven on earth right here, right now, as a manifesting power with our minds. Thank you, God, that all are welcome. You are the unifying source of all creation. Let us remember we are connected to everybody on earth and every nature being on earth. Thank you, God, for abundance that is lavish and unending. And we believe it is so in our souls. And so it is.
And so it is.